The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Forever Us, J.S. Johnson, the National Insurance Board, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Ron's Electric Motors, the Summer of Love Concert, Sunshine Insurance Agents and Brokers Limited, and Wendy's.
The well-dressed incense smoky lies of holy Holy, first cuz of Crucili, down for 3 days. Now we all Holy Week, trying to speak with two tongues, just to speak in tongues, only to wake up the real lie. Three don't fit in one, and death don't mean you done, unless your mind is spun by the Bible and the gun. So wake up and run, run, run.
Wake each other up. Wake each other up. We are programmed to sleep. We got a challenge to meet. This drowsiness runs deep. Let it be our decree. Wake each other up. Wake each other up. We're in a sad state of urgency. Time to clean away the debris. Saying nothing just to keep the peace. Does not make your pain cease. Wake each other up. From the habit of the past, break each other up. Feel that motivating blast.
Welcome to the revolution here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Kahun Anku Sarah, aka Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III of the Holy Coptic Church. I'm here with you on another Friday. Yeah, you know, I'm one letting us take a spin every Friday. So we appreciate you being here with us. Our phone lines, when they do open, are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Of course, our text line is powered by BTC422GR96. That's 422-4796. And hey, we got a lot of ground to cover today. Before we dive into our show today, I just want to remind everybody that the Summer of Love concert, up close and personal with Jacque and Tank, August 6th, that's tomorrow, August 6th at the Fusion Courtyard. If you ain't got your tickets yet, make sure you contact Fusion or the promoters at 429-7017. That's 429-7017. It sounds like it's gonna be pretty tight. You know what I mean? So if you don't have your tickets, make sure you hit up 429-7017. I'm happy to be here. CA Nuri is gonna be in the building. He's in the building, but he'll be in studio in just a second. We're gonna continue the conversation that we left off with last week. But before that, we have some special guests in the studio. They've been here before, and we're always happy when they are in studio. They have a wonderful gratitude concert fundraiser for the musical. So get yourself an order, my warm up. They in for a treat today. I'm not gonna hold you in suspense any longer. I can't hear you clapping, but if you're in your car, give a little blow of the horn. If you ain't in the car, just clap a little bit for Paul and Tanya Hannah.
Hey, what's up? Hi. Yeah, Anku.
Hey, Radio Bahamas. Yes.
How y'all doing, man?
Good.
Yeah. I know y'all like the two busiest. the two busiest people I know in my life. I met y'all being busy. Y'all was busy before I've been on this earth.
Oh, man.
You know, You always, anything to do with music or culture or anything for the community, I know that you all are involved in it. And this is something that I haven't seen you do recently. I know you have some books out already, but I want to let you set the table and tell us exactly what we are in for on August 14th.
Yeah. Okay, so on August 14th, you're going to join us as we birth our musical. Mm-hmm. Our musical, Abby's Magic Bag. I want you to stick around so that you can find out what's in that bag.
Wow.
Because it's a musical all about character development, how to build and transform. And also, it takes you back to the 1960s, a little boy who had a lot of challenges and how those were overcome and what was in that magic bag that helped him. So stick around.
Yeah.
And also join us for the total rollout, because this is just the beginning. You'll get to hear a few of the songs from the musical at the concert. And also which is followed by our casting. We're going to be casting.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have the big bang.
So that's August 14th. Tell us where it's going to be at.
Oh, well, this one is going to be at the Dundas Performing Arts, Mackey Street. The Dundas is under renovation, but the Philip Burroughs Theater, which is AKA the Black Box.
Right.
You know, everybody really
that's
knows
right
it.
That's right behind the main building.
Yes, okay. Right. So okay. That second theater, that's where it's going to be all at.
All right.
So we start at 4. We took you into consideration. We know you want an early evening, so we'll be out by, you should be home by 8.
Because that is a Sunday.
Daylight.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you could go to church or do whatever you do in the morning and get a little snack or whatever, and then you could come on right over at 4.
And we start at 4.
Yeah.
And we got a little bit of eats and drinks there for you. Yeah.
Good. So you don't even have to eat. You could come and get something to eat, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So this, it says gratitude. Explain to everybody what...
We're grateful, number one. You know, Paul has been going through a lot. And so we're grateful. So essentially, that's number one. We're grateful that, hey, he's in better spirits, better physicality.
Yeah.
Feeling up to concerts.
Wow.
And being able to continue that trend.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is, it takes a long time to create and develop and build a musical.
Right.
So to be able to finally roll this out, present it, get it published, because we're gonna have the Abby's Magic Bag playbill, the songbook, all of the things that you get when you're at Broadway, because this is where we're going.
Wow, so you're bringing a taste of Broadway all the way to the Bahamas.
Exactly.
That's powerful. That's powerful. So I'm curious. I know you can't give away everything, but where did this idea come from?
Oh, well, we started in the 80s. One of the very first song, which is Crayons of Love.
Mm. Actually, I've been writing songs, and after compiling, I realized that, hey, you know something, we can put this into a play.
Mm.
And it got started then.
Mm-hmm.
It was like early.
Well, I'm telling you, the very first one, if you notice with the dates, you'll see all the dates of the songs, which year it was written, and everything came, COVID brought it to a close. Meaning we had that time to actually put the finishings on all of the songs and get everything. Because Paul literally writes all of the manuscripts.
Mm.
You know, it's not like done. It's not digitally done. He handwrites everything.
Wow.
And so he really has an incredible ability of writing. And
And this is the first time this is being presented, this particular one. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a compilation of over 24 songs and also of script. And we have about nine characters, eh? I think it's 9 characters in total.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be quite interesting. And then you're talking about it staged in Bainetown on, what is the street? Dunmore?
Dunmore Street
is where it all started.
All right. Bainetown in the house always, you know? Wow.
Yeah.
So y'all can give us a little taste of what to expect on the 14th, yeah?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's
get a tiny drop.
Little drop. All right. Take it away. Take it away.
Well, he'll move into it. Can he move into it?
Yeah, man. Do it, man. Tanya Hanna. Albies Magic Bag.
Albies.
All right. Albies Magic Bag. Sunday, August
14th.
Sunday, August 14th this year, 2022. It's going to be at the Dundas, not the actual main building, but the called the Black Box.
Yeah.
The Black Box right behind the main building. And you want to make sure you are. Where can people reach out to get tickets?
You can go to either the website, which is ariamusicclass.com/shop.
Okay.
You can go there and purchase. Or you can reach out to me, 802-8363. Or you can write TanyaHanna@yahoo.com.
All right. Give that number again and the email again.
So the number is... Remember, it's 242.
Yes.
So 242-802-8363.
Yes.
And then TanyaHanna@yahoo.com.
Yes. And if you can remember Aria's music, put that in Google. It'll pop up.
Right, it will. It
and,
shall.
And you can get all the information that you need for this.
And tickets are $75.
$75. And I mean, you're talking about original music. You're talking about two seasoned musicians with nine different characters to boot, right?
And so, you have Aaron who's going to host, and Carrington is going to give a guest performance.
Man, listen, if you never heard Carrington sing,
right.
My word, that's $75 right there. And by Aaron, you mean Aaron Green?
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Aaron Brown. Okay. That's why I want to make sure. Aaron Brown will be hosting. And Carrington is going to be giving a guest. McKenzie, he actually performed at the Independence recently.
Quite a lot of performances.
Well, a lot of performances. Really busy. Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, I thank you, Paul and Tanya. I wish you all the best with this endeavor. You got one more for us? Or?
Yeah, you want me to come around there?
You want
this.
You need the mic.
Well.
That one in.
Would it be loud enough?
I can give you this mic.
Oh, okay. He'll give me that.
The producer is telling me, give. Oh, okay. You see, you sit right. He got to play. See, he has to play the piano. Yeah, okay. We're getting it together. Yeah. All right. So, this is all, again, ladies and gentlemen, for those who may be just joining us. August 14th, a musical is going to be taking place at the Black Box. At the Dundas Theater, Paul and Tanya Hanna is bringing a bit of a Broadway to the Bahamas and giving us a little taste of what to expect for August 14th. I'm going to let them do the rest right now. Y'all take it away.
Girl, you are to me all that a woman should be, and I dedicate my life to you always.
Love like yours is grand.
You're like the sun chasing all of the rain away. When you come around, you bring brighter days. Oh boy, I love you so. I can't find enough ways to let you know. And you can be sure, Lord knows, for always. Come with me, my sweet. Let's go make a family. And they will bring us joy for always.
You're the perfect one. And me and you forever will.
And we both know that our love will grow and forever it will be you and me. Chasing all of the rain away. When you come around, you bring brighter days.
Oh boy, I love you so. I can't find enough ways to let you know. But you can be sure, Lord knows, for always.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul and Tanya Hanna.
Abby's magic bag. Abby was my friend, man.
This is a real person.
Oh, yeah. Abby's a real guy.
All the characters are real.
Abby's
one of those guys, you know, you don't play around with.
Okay.
And when you see him coming now, you trust that he's in a good mood or you walk on the next side of the street.
Wow. Wow. Being down fella.
Oh, you got it.
All right.
Rock and bottle.
Wow.
So watch for the transformation.
Yes. Man, but y'all sound beautiful.
Thank you, my friend.
And I can only imagine how it's going to be on the 14th of August, making sure people remember that date.
Yes.
Give that number again. Give that email again. Microphone right there.
It's TanyaHanna@yahoo.com, or you can call 242-802-8363.
Thank you all so much for being here. And listen, don't miss out. Get your tickets early and support some real positive music and culture in our country today, because we need more of it. Thank you all so much for all the hard work that y'all do.
And don't forget, we're going to be casting. So, hey, maybe y'all... Maybe you might be the star in the show.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you all for stopping by. And we're going to jump to a commercial break. And C.A. Nuri is now in the studio, so we can see what he got in store for us today. 96.9 Guardian Radio, the revolution. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Keep it locked.
Saying nothing just to keep the peace does not make your pain cease. Wake each other up. From the habit of the past, break each other up. Feel that motivating blast. Break each other up.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
The King wants you to take a walk on the tangy side with the all-new Zesty Whopper collection at Burger King Nassau. Enjoy the classic Zesty Whopper with two types of cheese, zesty sauce, and crispy onions stacked on 100% flame-grilled beef. Or go zesty on our plant-based Whopper and crispy chicken. All three are saucy, crunchy, and full of flavor, and only available at Burger King Nassau. Visit any of our seven locations and enjoy a Zesty Whopper as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Nightlife Entertainment and 242 Party, in association with Playhouse Entertainment, invites you to get up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang.
Hey, what if we already know who it is? It's the one and only Jacquees.
Boy, Tang, Nassau, Bahamas, I will be in the building August 6th at the Fusion Courtyard.
For table and section bookings, call or WhatsApp 429-7017.
Ladies, let's get up close and personal.
It's a summer of love, up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang. Fusion Superplex Courtyard, Saturday, August 6th.
To anyone interested in managing their personal finances, Sunshine Finance is offering interest-free and payment-free loans. You will be charged 0% interest until January 2023. You can keep all of this year's loan payments up to and including December. This interest-free, payment-free offer is limited to loans booked with Sunshine Finance in August only. If any of this can assist you, contact us at apply@sunshinefinanceltd.com. Sunshine Finance, we're your leader in private lending.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The light of the body is the eye. The quest, the best way to survive. The well-dressed incense, smoky lies of holy. Whole lie, first cuz of crucify, down for 3 days. Now we all Holy Week, trying to speak with two tongues, just to speak in tongues, only to wake up the real lie. Three don't fit in one, and death don't mean you done, unless your mind is spun by the Bible and the gun. So wake up and run, run, run.
Wake each other up. Wake each other up.
And welcome back to The Revolution. Kahunaku Sarah sitting in for Juan McCartney. Today is a Friday. I hope you had a wonderful week. And I hope you're still waking on the BBLM job. It ain't 5 o'clock yet. And I know how Fridays go. After lunch, you know, everything mash up. But today we started a conversation last week, C.A. Nuri and I. C.A., how are you doing today, my brother?
I'm doing good, man. I have one or two questions I need to put forward to you. But yeah. The stuff that we covered last week and how we ended, yeah. I really want to start from that point again.
Yeah, I found a clip by John Henry Clark talking about all the slavery stuff. He kind of gives his perspective on it as a historian. And so I want to start with that, and then we can be able to bounce around from there.
Okay.
Cool. We got the clip. All right, so John Henry Clark on slavery. Africans ain't had nothing to do with slavery. Not the way they telling us. John Henry Clark.
In East Africa, the Arabs have already disgraced Islam. They had started a slave trade 600 years before the Europeans. And this slave trade, after they lost Spain, preying on nations in Africa, had drained Africa of so much time and energy and resources and organization, the Africans now could not mount an offense against Europe. Now we see the enemies that the Arabs that we had installed in Spain in the Mediterranean, because the military arm was African, turning on us. Now, this is bigger than my skimpy explanation, because every ally we ever had has turned on us when it was his or her convenient to do so, left or right, and there is no exception. Now the Arabs have turned on the Africans, moved down from North Africa and destroyed the great nation states in inner Africa. Now they would increase the slave trade along the coast of West Africa, the Portuguese and the Spaniards. Africa is in a bind now. East Africa is controlled by Arab slave traders. North Africa is controlled by Africans and Arabs returning from the conquest of Spain now that they've lost Spain. West Africa is arguing among themselves because they can't sell their family dispute. They will make a mistake by inviting the Portuguese to arbitrate their family dispute. Now, I've said this before, if you didn't learn anything from Godfather 1 and 2, you never, absolutely never invite an outsider to settle a family dispute. Never. Sober up old drunken Uncle Willie. Let him settle it. But it must be somebody from within the family. Now the African is in a bind by the European. Now let us explain something that a whole lot of people have got misconceptions about, whether the Africans had slavery before the Europeans. In the European sense, no. Servitude is not slavery. They had worse servitude here in the United States, whites against whites. Many times the Africans in wars or difficulties would capture other African groups. These groups would have to work their way out of indenture, either tending cattle or doing something. Some groups built up a surplus of labor. The Africans had no big ships to take from Africans down the coast. So he knew a king further down who needed some labor. Now that the Portuguese are there, he hired some of the Portuguese to take these Africans from one part of Africa and another. Now the European is interpreting this as meaning the African was in the slave trade. The African was not in the slave trade, and you let people beat you over the head with nonsense because you have not studied African culture to understand that the nature of African servitude one to the other had no relationship to the slave trade, that the slave trade was the greatest holocaust, the greatest drainage on a people in the history of the world. Africans had no ships that he could connect three continents. And even if the African was in the slave trade, he could not have brought it off. He didn't have a ship that would hold 100 people along the coast. Mostly big fishing boats and river boats. So he could never have brought off anything as massive as the Western slave trade. Couldn't have done it if he wanted to. Didn't have the facility anyway. I am not saying Africans were right in imprisoning in holding their prisoners of war and making their prisoners of war work for them. Well, that's better than killing them, but I'm saying that they made a symbolic mistake and a tactical mistake when they hired the Portuguese to take captives from one part of Africa to the other and gave the Portuguese the illusion that they were in the same trade and had the same intentions for enslavement as the Portuguese. That was a mistake. It was a mistake because we did not know the European culture and we did not know the European mentality. Didn't know it then, don't know it now. Otherwise, you would behave differently. The Africans came from a society that was collective. The European came from a society that was individual. Two kinds of temperaments, two different people. Now, in the Western world, you have become selfish, closed-door individuals. You get in your lonely room to think of something to tell your analyst. But if you had some friends, you wouldn't need any analysts. Because African society was so open, if you couldn't talk to anybody else, you can talk to the village gossipers, who was always available. That was a good drain off. But we became a different people in this vine. All right.
The words of John, Professor John Henry Clark, noted historian. We don't talk about him enough, and we really should be studying him in our schools from even primary school, I would say, because he gives an African perspective on a lot of things that we may throw opinions around about. He gives a very sound historical experience. But what say you, C.A.?
I agree with sentiments that few Bohemians, few Caribbean people are aware of John Henry Clark and his importance to the African movement, the importance of African history and his recollection of it. It's a parallel his story, mm-hmm. right? Which puts Africa in the center of all things and then explain it. We in the Caribbean, we in the Bahamas, our culture is European oriented. Mm-hmm. From our education, from our religion, from our economics, from our speech and language, mm-hmm. and from our person. We are phenotypically European, mm-hmm. as in nature. And you see that with Clark, he gives a different vision of who we are as a people.
Right.
And as we move forward to identify ourselves as Bohemians, surely his input should be put into the schools that we can have a different view, a proud view, mm-hmm. of being African from self of origin. And that I wanted to say that if you have the chance to UT Wim, look him up and see the topics that he speak on, the research that he delves in. It's important to us as the Africans, mm-hmm. and the diaspora and Africans who live in Africa also.
And so, you know, I wanted to share that clip because we have all of our lives been told, well, you know, you really shouldn't be complaining because Africans sold Africans into slavery. And that's just not true. Again, what he points out is the perspective of the European coming into Africa and seeing what we were doing and interpreting it as slavery. Not to say that we were perfect, or not to say that everything we were doing is something we are proud of, but it just wasn't what slavery became in the Western world. I think that's an important conversation to have each Emancipation Day, because the narrative of us kind of bringing this on ourselves in the way that the Western world wants us to perceive it, that is pirated every year.
Yes.
It is pirated every year.
And we forget who created that narrative. Mm-hmm. And because we are European-centric, we've now adopted that as a truism, as a fact, without anyone challenging it, mm-hmm. and have that as a gospel, mm-hmm. without understanding Africa, without finding a narrative of what the Africans are saying.
Right.
And we do not know the origin of slavery. When I say slavery, I'm talking about Western slavery, mm. and how it impacted Africans during that time. And when we start studying this, we will look upon ourselves differently.
Yeah. So We're going to go to a break at 1 o'clock, but let me take this one text to say, bruh, all this does is prove, I don't know, this is how you sound, but it's how I think you sound. Bruh, all this does is prove that Africans are morally and ethically culpable in the slave trade. Ignorance is no excuse. There are a lot of indigenous tribes that owe us reparations. I don't know how you gathered that conclusion from what we just listened to. Maybe you didn't hear the whole clip. I'm not sure, but ultimately what Professor John Henry Clark is saying is that 600 years before what we're calling the slave trade, the Arabs had already been in Africa, had drained Africa of not only its resources, but willpower, had converted many Africans to pale Islam. And by the time the Europeans are coming into Africa, Western Africa is basically having their own internal turmoil. And the European is then able to benefit off of that by, as he was saying, mediating between tribes, whereby they made it seem as if they were going to assist them in doing their work, which was to take the labor that they had gotten from the various tribal wars, etc., to another tribe. And it basically turned into what we know as the slave trade today. But it starts way before that. When you look at the history of Europe, Portugal and Spain, the Portuguese and the Spanish are basically having their own back and forth about who's going to own what and who's going to own who. And the Pope at the time basically says to the Spanish and the Portuguese, listen, y'all don't need to fight. You one take west, one take east, and anybody who is not a Christian as we see it, you make them a slave. All right? That is the backdrop behind all of this. Later on, you have the Berlin Conference in the late 1800s, where Africa is now being basically cut up into what you see it as today. No Africans were there. No Africans were there when the Pope was talking to the Spanish and the Portuguese. And then ultimately, Christopher Columbus opens up what is referred to as the New World. It was new to them because they thought the world was flat. The Europeans did. And before Christopher Columbus would have opened their eyes to this new world, there was really no need for them to have slaves because they didn't have lands to conquer. They didn't know about it. And so there's a whole lot to unpack. But I just don't want us to be intellectually lazy and self-defeating and self-deprecating by saying silliness like African tribes owe Africans reparations, you know. That's
especially
just...
Especially when they knowing that they're not a power player in the whole...
They ain't a power player. And the 1834 to 1838 emancipation, this act that came in 1833, it basically set the wheels in motion for the Europeans, the English, to receive reparations. Mm-hmm. They just stopped receiving reparations in 2015 because they lost us as capital. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the fact that they got reparations because they freed us.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? But we don't talk about that. We don't want to talk about it. We rather just point the finger in a self-hating way at ourselves. See, I know you got some questions. I hear the radio playing right now, so we're gonna get to the questions you have and a whole lot more. I see the text is still texting. We'll get back to some more texts and some phone calls right after this. So 96.9 Guardian Radio, The Revolution. Kahuna Nku Sarah sitting in for Juan McCartney. Keep it locked.
Wake each other up. We are programmed to sleep. We got a challenge to meet. This drowsiness runs deep. Let it be our decree.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The light of the body is the eye. The quest, the best way to survive. The well-dressed incense, smoky lies of holy, holy. First cuz of crucify, down for 3 days. Now we all holy weak, trying to speak with two tongues, just to speak in tongues, only to wake up the real lie. Three don't fit in one, and death don't mean you done, unless your mind is spun by the Bible and the gun. So wake up and run, run, run.
And welcome back to the revolution here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Kahun Anku Sara in your company with my brother C.A. Nuri. I know we got some calls and I think maybe another text that came through. Let's run to the phone lines quickly and then we'll dive into some questions that C.A. had. Caller, you're on the revolution. How are you today?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great and extremely grateful. How about yourself, Uncle?
I am doing well, man. Thank you for taking the time to call today.
Listening to you for the last few weeks, and I must say your program is very interesting. I just have one question.
Sure.
Quick question. Might not be related to today, but over the last couple of weeks, you've been quoting the Old Testament. The question is, how many times in the Old Testament can you find the word religion? I'll hang up and listen.
All right. So I won't even guess. I'll just search it. The word religion didn't exist at that time. I don't know if they put it in there in the English. The word that was used is the word Millah. It would say Millah Ibrahim. Now, according to Blue Letter Bible, it says that the word religion occurs five times in five verses. All right? One in Acts 26 and 5, one in Galatians 1:13, one in Galatians 1:14, James 1:26 and James 1:27. So you're making your point as far as it not being in the Old Testament. The word religion itself is not there. However, the word Millah Ibrahim, and how do you know that Abraham had a way of life? Because Abraham had a law. If we go to Genesis 26 and 5, it says, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham was keeping some commandments, statutes, and laws. The word there for law is Torah. Okay, going back to what we referred to a couple of shows ago as what some refer to as the Tanakh or the Torah, which all comes out of the Shabaka stone. All right, so there was no religion as we see it today in the Old Testament. However, there were covenants, and those covenants still exist today. Going back to the covenant of the bow, which we talked about a couple of shows ago in Genesis chapter 9, whereby the rites, the rituals, the laws, and the commandments were being reestablished with one known as Noah, who today is referred to as Noah. And the token of that covenant, being the rainbow, speaks to a project known as the Rainbow Project, which actually took place on this planet many, 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 many years ago, before there was even a Noah or Noah to talk about. All right, so I appreciate that question, and continue to listen. I thank you for that question. Brother C.A., you had a question that we started to talk about off air. Let's jump into it.
And the question is simple. It comes off of Clark, Brother Clark's interpretation of how slavery started for West Africans in particular, right? And I wanted to know if we were chosen for slavery. Right. And when I say we, I'm talking about all of the black races, because we see that the black races or the dark races, the color races, were infiltrated. Their lands were possessed and taken from them, and they were all straight across the board, from Africa, from Asia, to the Southern Seas, all of them, their lands were taken and the people were put in slavery.
Right.
You know, by a particular invasive species. I'm going to put it as that.
Right.
You know, only one species exists on this earth who can claim Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
One. I know, no African.
No.
You know, only one species on this earth can claim the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So right. It's death.
Right.
It's death. You can't go there.
It's taking flag.
And in fact, they put a flag there and dare you to try fly there. You fly there, you see, you get shoot down.
Yeah.
Only, but it's changing now because now India and China has satellites.
Yeah.
But at one point in time, only one set of species had satellites in the sky and said that the space is theirs.
Right.
Space is theirs.
Colonizing space.
They're called colonizing space.
Yeah.
You know, only one invasive species can say that they live on every continent on this planet.
Right.
No other people can claim that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I want to know if we, is anything in reference in the Bible and in your ancient books that a particular scheme, a particular curse, a particular story that said that, yeah, you can be a slave, man.
Right,
you have to work on this.
But it's interesting because, producer, we got the rest of that clip. I want us to start playing. If my recollection serves me, Baba John Henry Clark does mention or answers this question. And just so you know, CA and I don't have no conversation before the show. I didn't know he was going to ask this. But the clip, I think, does speak to it. So, producer, if we could just run that rest of that clip, we should get the answer for that question from Papa John Henry Clark.
If the concept of slavery was starting in the world, it was a going concern among the Arabs 600 years before the Europeans, and if there were so many people in the world, why the choice of the African as against those other people, collectively more numerous than the African? The question is both ancient and current. Why is Africa more exploited right now than any other continent? Why do people willing to fight Africans and not willing to fight others? Why does Israel get more aid than all the African nations in the world put together? One nation in the total population of the Jews. The total world population is less than one half of the black population in the United States. Why do they get so much attention, you get so little attention? They got their political thing together, you haven't got yours together. They got their religious thing together and their culture thing together. Religion and culture are servants of a people. And they convert it to service. With you, religion is religion. You don't make enough demands from anything, especially the people who take up your time and your resources. We are the true believers. We out Muhammad, Muhammad, out Pope to Pope. Believe in things in their purest form. Can't go to the right or to the left. They said go to the center, we go to the center. So now we become the victims of our own culture as the needs of Europe began to expand. Now, let's look at the beginning of the tragedy.
So he begins to talk about, and I have another clip that I can share with you offline, where he talks about the fact that the Europeans, you know, they had their feudalism. They had lower class Europeans doing the work that Africans would later be brought in to do. But they just weren't strong enough. They could not bear the load that was being placed on them. Once the African was introduced as a labor force, to put it mildly, right, slaves, and were able to take on the burdens that were being cast upon them and were not dying as readily as the Native Americans in America, as well as the Europeans across Europe, then the African became the choice of slave necessary to build the quote-unquote New World, necessary to build all of these lands that, they were now quote-unquote discovering. People are already there, but they're discovering these lands, and they now want to reap the resources from these lands. These indigenous people operate out of a natural law called Ma'at, which if they had not practiced or utilized Ma'at with the European, what had happened would not have happened, or even with the Pale Arab, right? I say that because we didn't have a concept or understanding of, I can invite you over, we can eat together, I can introduce you to my family, you know, the whole nine yards, and then you can leave and come back and rob me. Tie up everybody, all the stuff that I show you, my family heirlooms and everything that my family have, you can take them now, and at risk of me losing my life, I got to now show you where the rest of the heirlooms are. All right? This is what people saying, black people turning on each other was all about, under duress, right? So we were chosen insofar as we are the, or were the ones who could take on the load of what the European and others, the Pale Arab, etc., needed us to do in various parts of the planet, because we were everywhere on the planet before everybody else. This is what science is now coming to the conclusion of, right? And so in that way, yes, we were chosen. Now, with regard to being a chosen people, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 6, makes mention of us being a special people. It says, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. This word chosen, all right, they use the word here in the Hebrew, behar. Behar, H-977, for those who may be following, all right? Or they'll say Bahar. And it means to choose or elect or decide to be chosen or be selected, all right? A primitive root properly to try, that is to select. This is no different than in the book of John, where you see Jesus coming and saying that he came to his own. He was coming specifically for a group of people. Now, why was he coming to those people? He was coming to those people because those people were the ones who already established that covenant. In establishing that covenant, he was coming to make sure that they got back in line with that covenant. Everybody didn't establish the covenant. Those who had established the covenant, in Egyptology, they'll talk about the 12th dynasty, which is really the 12th tribe. That 12th tribe then moves into what is called religion today, and they refer to it as the tribe of Israel. But we know it wasn't just the tribe of Israel, because Abraham had children with more than just one woman. So clearly her family must be writing this story, because everyone else is outside journey. Ishmael becomes an outside child. Send him out into the desert. Send him and his ma out. I don't like what I told you to do. I don't like that no more. And then after Sarah dies, there's Keturah. And this is where the Ashurites, or those who they later call Babylonians, these Cushite Babylonians, these African Babylonians, come out of that seed of Kitora. Later on, you have an invasion out of what's called the Caucasus Mountains around the area of the Black Sea, Caspian Sea, and you have what's called the Aryans. They are coming in out of the north, because you talked about these people who come out of the north. Because Jeremiah talked about the people coming out of the north. Mm-hmm. And they are now vamping down on the indigenous tribes of what today is called India, but at one time it was referred to as Northern Kush. Mm-hmm. This was an extension of Africa. So you had what was called the Harappan civilization. And this Harappan civilization, these were Africans who are now being pushed down further south into what is called India today. They're still there today. If you look up the Adamanese tribe, they're still there today in some instances. And what happens is, biblically speaking, I see a texter here talking about this Babylonian incursion. And they say good afternoon, texter. All right. After the first incursion by the Babylonians, the royal house of David was sent to Portugal or Kittim. So he's saying Portugal is Kittim. They stayed there until King John married a Spanish queen who expelled the Jews, I guess, to Western Africa for punishment because they did not convert to Christianity. But 10 years subsequently after this edict, slavery started. All right. So this is what the text is adding to the conversation. I thank you for that. I know that in 1492, we talked about the Moors being kicked mm-hmm. out of Spain, et cetera, et cetera. And so the point that I'm making in terms of the question that you're asking in terms of being chosen is that this book that is being referred to as the Bible, that this book didn't exist at that time. Mm-hmm. You had different writings that meant something to different people in the different locales that they were in. You had what some refer to as the Book of the Dead or the Coming Forth by Day. You had books like, or they weren't even necessarily in books. They were actually written inside of what they refer to as tombs today, right? The Pyramid Texts, right? The Book of Gates, right? The Book of Two Ways, all right? These books were our records based on what we were dealing with in particular locale. So the people in South Africa didn't necessarily read the book that the people in North Africa or West Africa or East Africa had because it didn't necessarily relate to them in that same way. Mm. By the time as you have the looters coming in and taking bits and pieces of records, how were they doing it? Through slavery. They weren't just taking people. They were taking our records too. And they were compiling these records. This is why today, if you want to go and see a proper collection of African works, in many instances, you got to go into Europe. Mm-hmm. If you want to be an Egyptologist, you got to learn German, because a lot of the work that was done as far as collecting African artifacts is written in German. You got to learn Arabic, because North Africa is colonized by those who speak Arabic. So they don't put everything in English, mm-hmm. right? And you got to be able to travel to these places. This is why the works of Sheikh Anta Diop is so important for us. He, being from Senegal and being able to speak French, he battled back and forth with academia for the longest just to prove that the original Egyptians were black people. Hmm. You understand? And so when you start asking, well, who is chosen? You got to first ask, well, whose records are these? Hmm. We talked about a few weeks ago, the word Bible comes from Biblos, and the word Biblos means Egyptian papyrus. So why does the world descend upon the records of the African and then pretend as if it's them? And then tell the African, you had no story. Mm-hmm. You were a pagan. You were a savage. In order for you to have any form of salvation, you must convert to our form of what you originally had in place. Now, the book of Romans chapter 11 talks about this. Paul talks about being a messenger to the Gentiles and talks about how the original branch of this tree had been cut off and they had been grafted in Romans 11. And it's talking about these Greek Jews who actually came into our lands in North Africa. One called Soter, They talk about this savior. The word savior in the Greek, one of the words is soter. And this soter, who's really the Joseph of their scriptures, right, is coming in, and this is seen in Isaiah chapter 19, and they are colonizing 5 lands in Africa. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 18 makes that very clear, all right? But in Romans 11, right, it talks about, and I'm not going to read all of it, right? But Romans 11 and 13, and then we can run to a break, Mr. Producer, right? For I speak to you Gentiles, Romans 11, 13, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. This is Paul. Mm-hmm. He's talking to the Romans. We already said that the Gentiles, that word Gentile is the word Ionia or Greece. So he's talking to Greeks. Mm-hmm. All right. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh. He was talking to his own people. So the same way Yahshua came to his people, mm-hmm. Paul is coming to his people. Mm-hmm. So he's choosing his people. He's choosing these Gentiles. You understand? And might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. So now they're comparing the original seed with this grafted seed. And he's going to use the word grafted in the next verse. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So if I graft myself into an original culture with original records, and if I dress like them, and if I talk like them long enough as best as I can, and if I make the original seed of that people forget who they are, then I can walk around as if I'm the original. Mm-hmm. Romans 11, 17 says, and if some of the branches be broken off, this is slavery now, because Matthew 26, 31 says, the shepherd shall be struck and the seed shall be scattered. This is how the branches are broken off of this original tree. It says, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them. So you move the original people, if not physically, mentally, away from who they are. You graft yourself in. How do you graft yourself in? By way of what's something called cultural diffusion. You are running parallel stories with the original stories, and you're using the template of the original people, and you're saying to these people, after you have removed or gutted their substantive realities and put in your his story, you're saying, no, this is the original records, right? So this is how they graft themselves into these stories. And with them, it says, partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. How do they take of the root and the fatness of the olive tree? This olive tree, talking about Africa, this olive branch, this place of peace. If you redo some research on what's called the Band of Peace. The Band of Peace was an area around the pyramids. It's still called the Band of Peace today, right? And it goes on further. I could let you read that on your own. But Romans 11, so he's talking about this graftation where they're coming in. And there, Paul is saying, I came for the Gentiles. Yahshua is saying, I came for the 3 groups of 12 royal tribes. So you got 2 groups of chosen people in this scripture. The ones who end up in the slavery as we know it today are the Africans. The ones before that, yes, they were enslaved too, but they were enslaved by their own people. You understand? So we're going to stop there and take this break. I want to just say before we go to the break, peace on the streets. You know, my brother, Dr. Carlos Reed, he is doing a wonderful job of keeping the young men not just busy, but productive. We want to remind you of the clergy versus politician game. That is August 7th. All right. So I think that would be Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. And then they have a lot of championship games. Just making sure that the slam dunk competition. All this is at the Sir Kendall Isaacs Gym. So make sure you check out Peace on the Streets. I know there's information up on Facebook and otherwise if you want more information, but check out Peace on the Streets. We're going to keep it rolling after this break here on The Revolution. Keep it locked.
Tune up your frequency. Take control of your destiny. Do what only you must do.
courage will guide you through.
Wake each other up.
Put that silence to a stop.
Wake each other up.
From the bottom to the top.
Wake each other up.
Popeyes, we foster love in everything we do. And our signature sandwiches are no different. Stop on by and try our all-new Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich. We have taken the chicken sandwich and kicked it up a notch. Taste our Louisiana Cajun seasoned chicken patty, served on a brioche bun with two pickles and drizzled with our all-new Buffalo Ranch sauce. Add a chocolate chip cookie on your order for only 90 cents. Stop by any Popeyes for your Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich today.
Love that chicken for Popeyes.
Here we go.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Nightlife Entertainment and 242 Party, in association with Playhouse Entertainment, invites you to get up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang.
Hey, what it be? I know who it is. It's the one and only Jacquees.
Boy, Tank, Nassau, Bahamas, I will be in the building August 6th at the Fusion Courtyard.
For table and section bookings, call or WhatsApp 429-7017.
Ladies, let's get up close and personal.
It's a summer of love, up close and personal with Jacquees and Tang. Fusion Superplex Courtyard, Saturday, August 6th.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The light of the body is the eye. The quest, the best way to survive. The well-dressed incense, smoky lies of holy, holy. First cuz of crucify, down for 3 days. Now we all holy week, trying to speak with two tongues, just to speak in tongues, only to wake up the real lie. Three don't fit in one, and death don't mean you done, unless your mind is spun by the Bible and the gun. So wake up and run, run, run.
Wake each other up.
And welcome back to The Revolution here on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Kahun Anku Sarah in your company with C.A. Nuri. And we've been talking about kind of the extension of the emancipation conversation that we started last week. And I see we got some callers, so let's run to the callers right quick and see what they want to add to the show. Callers, caller, you're on The Revolution.
Namastu.
Namastu, Ella. How are you?
I'm holding, thank God.
Yes.
We need justice, law, and order in this country.
Yes.
You know something, but Uncle?
Mm.
Listening to that clip in which you had played, right?
Mm-hmm.
First portion?
Yeah.
You know what it tells me? Mm. You're not supposed to speak things in which you know not of. Unless
that's
you
true.
Got the history.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the history whereby you can communicate,
mm-hmm.
effectively,
yeah,
you're making yourself stupid or a liar.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I thank you for that. But what I want to ask, right, one or two questions and then a other comment.
Mm-hmm.
The country in which you are... The country in which we went back in history, the
Kemet,
the name.
Kemet or...
Say it again?
Kemet? I don't know which country you mean.
Kemet. You speak about the people, the name has changed, to make it simple, the name has changed. Portuguese it was.
Oh, okay, they say Kitum. They say Kitum or Portuguese, yeah. That's what the text... The texter was saying that Portugal is called Kitum today, or was called Kitum.
I didn't get that word properly. Kittim?
Kittim. Kittim. Kittim is one of the sons.
Spell it. Because you're not coming over clear.
C-H-I-T-T-E-M. C-H-I-T-T-E-M.
Kittim.
Yeah.
Okay, now look here. Before I make my comment, would you give me a... How old is it for it?
So, Kittim is one of the names of the sons of Javan.
Is the what?
In Genesis 10.
You're not coming over clear. I don't know why.
Sorry, in Genesis 10... One of the sons of Javan is called Kittim.
Okay.
And Javan is one of the sons of Japheth, and Japheth is one of the sons of Noah.
One of the sons of Noah?
Correct.
Got you.
Yeah.
And so how old is it from then to today?
So in the African records, you're talking within the last 50,000 years.
Got you.
The last epoch.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, I forgot my comment. But basically, I wanted to know that, and I thank you for that bit of information.
No problem.
How many years you said again?
50,000 years. So remember this, Genesis 1 would represent the first 49 to 50,000 years, and then Genesis 1 and 2 kind of overlaps at the beginning of Genesis 2, and then that's another 50,000 years. So we are at the end of the second epoch, which started in Genesis chapter 2. That's why Genesis 1 and 2 seem like they parallel each other.
Got you. Let me tell you something before I go, right?
Yeah.
I was in an atmosphere in the United States of America about around in the 60s, right? The mid-60s, something like that, right? And I was in an atmosphere of some people. And you know what? When I say some people, they are people that look like us, right? And they never believe in telling or allowing those other people, other colored people,
right?
Knowing what they were all about, their business, right? And I didn't see it. I didn't got the understanding in those years, right? But you know, that clip in which you had played?
Yeah.
That gave me the understanding
of
what they were all about. Thank you so much for, for your greatness, man. Blessings.
Yeah. Doing my best. All praises to the Most High. Thank you so much for calling. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. I think we got another caller. Yes, producer. Let's run to that call quickly, and then we run to some text. All right, caller, you're on the Revolution. Thanks for calling. Maybe we lost him. All right, apologize there. Caller, maybe you can call back. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. We got a text that's coming through. It says, afternoon. Why do we debate the Bible as if it is a true history book? To me, that is insane. Even Osiris is not real. We need to be taught laws of life. We need to be taught the importance of truth and justice. We need to know how to live amongst each other. All else is irrelevant. Truth, I say, truth. All right, so number one, let's hit the points one at a time. On this show, we don't debate the Bible. And we don't say that the Bible is a true history book. We make reference to the original books of the Bible. And that word Bible is simply, if you look in the actual Bible, you don't see the word Bible. When I say actual, I'm talking about the westernized versions that people will look at and say, "Ooh, this is the Bible." That book itself doesn't say it is the Bible. There's no the word Bible isn't in the Bible. Okay? The word book, however, when you read the word book, you will see the word Biblos, which takes you back to the word Bible. And when you start to study or understand what that word means, you get the understanding of the African records. Those African records, we, the Holy Coptic Church, refer to as the original books of the Bible. So there are original records that allow us to do exactly what you say, which is to know how to live amongst each other. Now, in order to know how to live amongst each other, we got to know who we are. In knowing who we are, we learn who we are also are not. All right. And so we have records that address these things, but we're not going to get to those records if we just throw the baby out with the bathwater. The Bible in and of itself is not the problem. The translation and the interpretation of it and the way it is being presented is. Osiris, you mentioned, you say Osiris is not real. No, not from the Greco-Roman perspective. Osiris is not real. Osiris is something that was made up by the Greco-Romans. Osiru, however, is a seat. And that seat is still sat in today. The seat of the Nazarene. That's mentioned in the book of Numbers chapter 6. Or when you talk about the original Hebrews that exist today in the diaspora as well as on the continent as the Lemba tribe, as well as the tribe of Iber, or they would say Igbo or Igbo in West Africa. These tribes still today have records that point to this Nazarene. And they are those who are appointed to sit in that seat. In the Jewish community, they'll call it the seat of Elijah. All right? And so it's not as simple as saying, well, everything is just, you know, a myth and we can just live together. We've tried that. That's what the conscious community is. The conscious community that I, at one point, you know, was learning and still appreciative of that time of being a part of what a conscious community. I mean, it's a cute thing to say, but it's not really a community. There's people who come together and share information, but there are no laws. There are no rites and rituals. There's no accountability in a so-called conscious community. I'm not knocking people. I'm just saying we got to do more if we truly want to actually live like you say we want to live. If there's a law, the law has to be based on something. The law, ma'at, comes out of a culture. You can't just grab ma'at and say, yeah, I live by ma'at, but you don't take everything else that ma'at comes out of. Ma'at comes out of a true religious identity. The word religion just means to bind, or that which allows for you to live the way that you're saying you want to live amongst each other. All right, so I hope, I pray that helps you, Texter. Do we have another caller? All right, let's run to the phone lines. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. Caller, you're on the Revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. Anku, and to your guest, Mr. C.A. Nuri.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yeah, C.A. Nuri is a good guy to have on the show, you know, believe you me. Anku.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the things you said are so aphoristic, right? And just
man, you got to tell me what that word means, man.
Yeah, undeniably factual.
All right.
And so the fact that...
I learned that word today.
You have Egypt, right? And where the people used, you know, like this conversation is whether or not the people in Egypt and Palestine were black. But that's the Sun Belt. They're going to be black naturally. You know, I listened to Phil Ballantyne and read some narratives from him, right? So those people will naturally be black. And so the fact that you said that you spoke about the Arab invasions of Africa. We know that Africa was under siege for about 3,000 years. Also Palestine and all the surrounding areas, right? And so obviously the miscegenation would have taken place, and that explains why even from the 16th century some of the slaves coming through were already light-skinned, as mentioned in the narratives. And so what I'd like for you to do is in the future maybe you can have a show on the influence of the Phoenicians, which would be Lebanese today, right? On the development, right, of Spain and Europe, and where they founded cities like Cadiz and Malaga, and their influence on the European culture and on Iberia, which is the continent of Spain and Portugal. And so, when you look at it, the Semites, the Phoenicians, right, they colonized Spain before the Visigoths, right. So maybe if we could deconstruct and demystify this, the influence of African and Middle Eastern cultures on Europe as being downplayed, all right? And so when you look at the Phoenicians, right, they were originally from the East Mediterranean region of Levant, right? So you know there's places like Syria, Lebanon, and northern Israel, and they founded cities like Tyre and Sidon, and there's a place called Byblos, or Byblos. I don't know how it, but it's similar to the Bible.
Yeah.
And so as you speak, I juxtapose all these history because I've read the book, The Civilization of Spain.
Mm.
And so just by having a conversation on the influence of the Phoenicians, which will be Canaanites, on the influence of you and the settlement of Europe and the development of Europe and Spain, then we'll be able to demystify all of these myths about selling people into slavery. Because in my grade 8 book named The Making of History, it is mentioned that the navigator Gil Anus, under the permission of the Spanish government, the minute he reached the first a set of Africans that he encountered, I can't remember whether it was the Azores Island or the Canary Islands, it would have been some islands west of Africa, the northern coast. He initially took them back as slaves to impress the king and the queen.
Yeah.
So this is like from the early 16th century.
Mm.
All right. So if we could get this kind of history out there, then we would stop these narratives and explain the difference in the slavery versus the Arab slavery and you know the child slavery and all that, because these people once they had a child with a slave, this child was not born a slave. There was a difference in the type of slavery. And it was different in the reasons for the enslavement. Yeah. Bless up,
my brother. Thank you for your commentary, brother CA.
Yeah,
it's a lot that's transpired since you asked your question.
It all adds to the narrative. Mm. I, one thing I want to throw into it, to make it more Bohemian,
bring it home, yeah,
right. I know Brother Christopher Davis mentions it all the time. Yeah. Every time we get together, he mentions it, and we had a number of conversations on it. Was how we praise the first royal governor of the Bahamas, and in fact, we have our theme, our first motto, which was until 1973, commerce restored and pirates expelled.
Yes.
And I wanted to bring forward to you that during Blackbeard, 1718, before Rose Rogers came, like in 1723, something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That 50% of the pirates living in the Bahamas were black.
Wow.
Right? Mm. It's a fact that 50%. So I'm picturing that if New Providence was a pirate republic, that if 50% of the pirates were black, that there was a strong black influence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You hear about Blackbeard's first mate in command was Black Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he do this circle the Bahamas and freed more slave ships and brought them into the fold.
Wow.
And I was, and Christopher explained to me what commerce was.
Right.
And we know that commerce in that time were black bodies.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And that they came
they
to
still,
the
they
new
still
world.
Call it human resources.
Human
today.
Resources today.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're saying that that commerce restored, and the majority of persons who lived in the Bahamas was freed pirates, and to restore commerce in the Bahamas was basically mean that they would have to institute slavery again.
Wow.
Expel all those, give the options of freedom to the white pirates,
right?
To say, well, you have a choice to change,
right?
Or get behind.
Right.
But the commerce, the working class, the human resources had no choice. They had either death or return to slavery. So when you see when we have Woodrow Rogers as a hero, we need to appreciate that his restoring commerce means to reinstitute slavery into the Bahamas.
Wow!
And that narrative also I wanted to put into the entire mix.
Yeah, man, I see why they made a statue metal so you can't just lick it out like Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, yeah.
We gotta run to a break on 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Back after this.
Put that silence to a stop.
Wake each other up.
From the bottom to the top.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Hello? Can you show you something else, boy?
Who this is? Tamika?
You don't even remember my name?
Wow, Dred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning your trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you got to get your first dose, wait, then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I see her hiding that under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO WHO, Canada, and USAID.
This is Guardian Radio. Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
The light of the body is the eye. The quest, the best way to survive. The well-dressed incense, smoky lies of holy, holy. First cuz of crucify. Down for 3 days. Now we all holy week. Trying to speak with two tongues, just to speak in tongues, only to wake up the real lie. Three don't fit in one, and death don't mean you done, unless your mind is spun by the Bible and the gun. So wake up and run, run, run.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to The Revolution here on 96.9. Guardian Radio, fresh news, smart talk all day. Yeah, that's me on that song. I forgot I had actually recorded that with Paul and Tanya Hanna, and I got the version with me in it. So, I'm grateful that that's the one that he wants played on the radio. We got some texters and then we got some callers. Let me run through these texts and then we can go to the callers quickly. This texter says, the last texter sounds like an atheist. I don't know. Y'all sure that we must identify ourselves because some foreigners are telling other people in our country that we should not be proud of who we are. I only guess in texter. I'm guessing you may be of Haitian descent. Or of a nationality that is not Bahamian, maybe Jamaican, or I don't know. And you may be being told that you aren't integrating well enough into our society or what have you. I'll only say this to that. When those ships were coming over here, no Haitian, no Jamaican, no Bahamian, no Caribbean person was on those ships. We were all African. And we didn't become all of these things that we quibble about until afterwards. So thank you for your text. All right. Another text coming in from a previous texter says, I agree. The conscious community here is terribly wanting. To me, it is because they focus on showing how much they know about Kemet and leave out integrity. Interesting. But that knowledge couldn't save Kemet. How then can that knowledge save us? Especially that we will never understand it as well as they did. Very, very good question, Dexter. Matter of fact, we're gonna dive into that in our next show. But I'll say this much to that question: there are people who were saved by that knowledge. We are the students in this school called Earth that got left back. There were societies that actually made the jump. And so we'll talk about that next week, all right? So thank you for your text. Let's just run to these callers before we got to get out of here. Callers, you don't have much time, so let's make it snappy. Welcome to The Revolution.
A pleasure. Good afternoon, my good buddy.
Hey, Sparky, what's going on, man?
Fritzy Jr.
In the flesh.
In the flesh. God bless him. God bless the dead.
Yeah, man.
You know.
Yeah, man.
May rest in peace. But, yes. You know, I know time is short. Mm-hmm. But we've been learning, and most of us been questioning things when we were kids, especially when we're going to Sunday school and asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
we start off with, they start to say that Moses wrote Genesis, but I found out that Moses couldn't have lived that long to write all of Genesis 1 and 2 and all that kind of thing.
Right.
He couldn't have lived that long to write Genesis.
Right.
Right? Based on the time you said Genesis 1 and 2 took.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And then we've been asking the question, it goes back, in the beginning God said, hey, let us make man and woman in our image.
Right.
So there was Adam and Eve, so we said they had two kids,
mm-hmm.
Cain and Abel.
Right.
Cain killed Abel.
Right.
But then Cain was thrown out of the garden, and Cain went out and he married his wife.
Right.
Where did his wife come from? Adam and Eve, when he had Cain and Abel.
Nah, we can touch on that next week's podcast. Appreciate you dropping that one on here. We definitely can touch that one next week. Let's get this next caller quickly. All right, they left us. So CA, I appreciate you being here, my brother. I pray that, you know, that the answers to your questions are assisting you, edifying you.
No, man, I feel good. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. People are enjoying your commentary on the show as well. I get texts quite often by saying, hey, man, I like CA being on the show. So I'm happy that we made a decision to have you on the show. I want to thank Paul and Tanya Hanna for coming in earlier on the program. Remember, August 14th, Ubby's Magic Handbag Musical. It's going to be at the Black Box at the Dundas, you know, right behind the main building. So make sure you check that out for August 14th, all right? Again, Peace on the Streets is happening this week and this weekend. You got the pastors and the politicians. Of course, you know I'm rooting for, but the pastors can beat them again, all right? But listen, thank you all for texting. Thank you all for calling. Man, I see some people still texting. I'm sorry I can't get to everybody. But thank you all for listening to 96.9 Guardian Radio. Fresh news, smart talk all day. I say namaste, which means I bow to the divinity in each and every one of you. Have a great day.
Break each other up. Don't be distracted. Break each other up. Stand and be committed. Break each other up.